you want to turn to Galatians chapter 5, we're finishing, as Andy said, a series on the nine. And we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And the first week I spoke on the what I call the outward fruits, love, joy, and peace. These are the upward fruits, love, joy, and peace. And as we look up to God, He begins to fill us with His Spirit and produce within us love, joy, and peace. Last week I talked about the outward fruits, how we behave, how we act, how we react, and how we treat people in our lives. As the Holy Spirit continues to fill our lives, we begin to treat people with patience, with long-suffering, with endurance, and with kindness, which is helpful in a harmless way, and then with goodness, which really is responding with acting out with holiness instead of with unrighteousness. And that's impossible without staying connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. He said, if you stay connected to the vine, if you stay connected to me, then you will bear much fruit. The reason I've been talking about this, and I just want to reiterate this one more time. The reason I've been talking about this is because fruit was meant for consumption. It was meant for consumption for the health benefits, and we need all the fruit, not just the ones we like. Just like I likened it to going to the grocery store a couple of weeks ago, and I had a table up here, and I had junk food on one side, and I had fruits and vegetables and healthy things on the other side, and we have a tendency a lot of times to go to the toxic things. We have a tendency to go to the things that we don't like, but a lot of times we realize we need the healthier fruits. This is just a physical thing, but in a spiritual sense, we understand that we need all of the fruits. Not just the ones we like. When I went to the grocery store that day, Jennifer said, get some fruit. I got some that I liked. I got some that she liked. But the reality is we need all of these nine fruits manifested, being developed in our life if we're going to have health, if we're going to have strength. There's benefits from this. And it's meant to be consumed. As we consume the Holy Spirit, as He fills our life, He begins to produce these qualities, these fruits in our life. And so we need this because we really live in a toxic environment. How many of you, would just agree with that? That the world we live in is kind of toxic. You don't have to look very long. You don't have to watch the television news very long or see a stream on the internet for very long to come across something that is toxic. Maybe there's even toxic relationships in your own life. And so we need the fruits of the Spirit because we live... I said this when I typed out the word toxicity, which is a real word. I saw the word toxic city. We live in toxic city. And so in order to be clean, we need a cleansing from the toxins in our life that surround us. And in order to be clean, living in toxic city, we need the Holy Spirit to flood our lives, to baptize us, to empower us, and to fill us so that His qualities, His fruit, begin to be manifested in and through our lives. How many of you agree with this morning? So today I want to end with this series with talking about the inward fruits. And this is what God is really doing on the inside of us. He's changing us. He's changing us. And so we need to continually be intentionally pursuing these fruits in our life. And today I want to talk about intentionally pursue the inward fruits of faithfulness. This is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Let's just read the whole thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, or endurance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, I want us to talk about this last three today, the inward fruits, I call it. And this is found at the end of that passage, 22 and verse 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need to be intentionally seeking these fruits in our life. I use that word intentional on purpose because sometimes we forget. We go through our day and sometimes we just forget. We don't think about it. And I want you to learn these fruits. How many of you, before I've preached the start of this message, how many of you were familiar with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? Okay. How many of you, before I started this series, you felt like, yeah, I probably could list all nine of them? Some of you are one hand, two, three, A few of you, all right? My goal, my desire through this message is for you to learn all nine of these. And I said it like this. In that first message, I said, how many of you think you know Dasher and Dancer and can finish that? Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid. Come on. Y'all know the eight tiny reindeer? You know the eight tiny reindeer. I'll bet you can even recall the most famous reindeer of all. What was his name? You know nine reindeer. Now, if you can remember nine reindeer, you can remember the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Or I skipped one: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we're going to talk about these last three, and I want you to learn these so that you become intentionally aware of when they're not present in your life, so that you can then say, I need more of the Spirit filling my life so that they can be present in my life. I want these fruits to be in my life. And so let's look at these last three today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm calling these the inward fruits because these are things that I believe God is really wanting to work within us. And the first one is this. If you're taking notes, you can just write it down: faithfulness. The Holy Spirit wants to develop in you faithfulness. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on this one and not as much on the last two today. But faithfulness. The Holy Spirit wants to develop faithfulness in you. In order to understand faithfulness, we first have to understand the root word of faith. Faith. What does faith really mean? I want to give you... I've been given a lot more Greek definitions, and I've been doing a lot more teaching during this series. I hope you're okay with that. But faith is really conviction. Faith is conviction. Everybody just say conviction. Now, sometimes this is a word we hear a lot in the church, maybe in some other terms. I'll use an illustration where you might hear it in just a minute. But it's not a word that we hear a lot. And so to help you understand the word conviction, a better way of saying it is convinced. You're convinced. Conviction or convict, convinced. It really is a legal term. Think of a court of law. Now, this is kind of a negative connotation, but someone is convicted of a crime. That means that a judge or a jury had enough evidence to persuade them to believe that this person was guilty, and therefore they were convicted. They had a conviction, a belief, a persuasion that they were convinced that this person was guilty. That's kind of a negative connotation, but that's really what the word faith is derived from. It's this legal term of a conviction. Now that is kind of negative, but in John chapter 16, remember we're talking about the fruit of the what? The fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. Jesus says this in John chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen. You can just jot it down. But verse 7 of John 16, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper..." Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit when he's talking about the Helper. He says, "The Helper will not come to you unless..." He's saying, unless I go away, I cannot send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come to you. But if I go away, the Helper is going to come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 8, and he says, "And when he has come..." Now, get this. What will the Holy Spirit do? It says, he will what? What? He will convict. There's that word, convict or convince. He's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, I used to think that this was a negative thing, a lot like using that illustration of somebody being found guilty and therefore they are convicted. I used to think this was a negative thing. I used to read this like this: the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and he's going to convict you. He's going to tell you you're a sinner and that you are unrighteous and God's mad at you because of it. And he's going to get you. He's going to judge you. He's going to send you to hell. That's what I used to think that meant. But let me just explain, this is not a bad thing. This is actually a great scripture, because what God is basically saying here, what Jesus is telling his disciples here, is the Holy Spirit is going to save the world. The Holy Spirit is going to lead people to this understanding that, yes, there is a God. They're going to be convicted. They're going to be convinced. Faith is going to be planted inside of them. And they're going to be convinced that yes, there is a God. And yes, there is sin in my life that is keeping me separated from this God. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. He also then convinces or convicts that person that they can be righteous in Jesus Christ. They are convinced now that they have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did is he took our unrighteousness on himself at the cross and gave us his righteousness. And therefore, we can be saved. And that Satan is the one that's going to be judged one day. And we have that conviction as well. We have that convincing that comes from the Holy Spirit. Let's read the rest of the passage, because that's exactly what Jesus goes on to say. In verse 9, he says, the Holy Spirit is going to convict us of sin because they do not believe in me. Remember what we're talking about. We're talking about faith. That word believe, it's another word for faith. People who don't believe in God or sin will begin to be convinced by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He will convict of sin. He will convict, or he will convince us of verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, Jesus has paid the price for our sin and we can know him. And then verse 11, he's going to convict us of judgment because the ruler of this world, who's the ruler of this world? Satan, right? Satan, the ruler of this world, will be judged or is judged. Satan is convicted and will be sentenced to hell. Now, this is faith. This is conviction. This is persuasion, convincing, belief in God and your right standing with him through Jesus Christ. That's what faith really is. So what is faithfulness now? We're talking about the fruit of faithfulness. What is faithfulness? It's simply staying true to this conviction. It's staying true to this conviction that you have, this faith that you have, this belief, this persuasion, this convincing that has happened by the Holy Spirit. One of the meanings of the word faithfulness is fidelity. Everybody just say fidelity. Now, that's not a bank. Well, I guess it is, or it's some sort of financial, I don't know, institution. But actually, fidelity is a word that we don't hear a whole lot. But when someone is unfaithful in their marriage, we say that's infidelity. But when someone remains faithful in their marriage, then we call that fidelity. We call it faithfulness, staying true to the vow that you made. Faithfulness, get this, this is a definition. Faithfulness is the character of one who can be trusted and relied on. This is what God wants to produce on the inside of us. He wants to produce this fruit of faithfulness, a character within us, so that we can be trusted and relied on. An unfaithful heart, now hear me this, an unfaithful heart is a heart that resists God's renewal. God wants to do something new inside of every heart. He wants to do something new inside of your heart. He wants to do something new inside of every one of his children's hearts. And an unfaithful heart is someone who is resisting that renewal, resisting that transformation, resisting that change. Let me explain. When I married my wife, and Jennifer's not in here this morning. She's helping in the nursery today. God bless her. But when I married Jennifer, she made a covenant vow to be faithful to me. In doing so, her very identity changed. Who she was changed. God, remember, God is wanting to do something new. And someone who is unfaithful is someone who is resisting God's renewal in their life. When I made this covenant vow with Jennifer, and when she made a covenant vow with me that she was going to be faithful, a renewal happened in her life. Her identity changed. She went from being the old Jennifer Mitchell to the new Jennifer Watson. She went from being the old Miss Jennifer Mitchell to the new Mrs. Keith Watson. Her very identity changed. Her name changed. Now, I know some people in our world today, they resist that. They resist that kind of, they even call that sexist. But we forget sometimes where all this stems from. Marriage is supposed to have been all along a reflection of our relationship with God. If you go back and read it in the Bible, let's go back and read it, Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about, he gives the longest description of what marriage means and what marriage is and what husbands do and what wives do. And at the very end, he says, but I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about our relationship with God. What happens when a person becomes a believer, when they start to have faith in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit begins to convince them and convict their hearts that, yes, there's a God. Yes, we are unrighteous and we are sinful and we have been separated from Him. But yes, we have now become the righteousness in Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin so that we could have a relationship with Him again, so that we could come into a marriage with Him. The Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. When we become the bride of Christ, get this, people, our identity is supposed to change. Who we are changes. Our name, our identity, we are now found in Christ. And can I please hear me today? This is not a bad thing. This is actually a good thing. Why would you want this? Why would you want this change in your life? Why would you want to be faithful? Let me say it like this. A week ago yesterday, Saturday a week ago, I had been downstairs. I've been doing some work in the living room. And I've been there for quite a while. I go upstairs to see what's happening. Is my family still asleep? I mean, it's Saturday. School's out, yada, yada. And all three of my girls, I say three, my wife and my two girls, are all up in the bed. And they were watching. What were they watching? The royal wedding. Yeah. And they had been there for hours. Watching the royal wedding. It is amazing to me how they can stretch out a whole day's worth of television broadcasting for a wedding. But anyway, they were watching the royal wedding and they were loving it. I said, how are y'all in here watching that? Why are you in here? And you've been in here for hours and you've been watching this royal wedding, why is this so mesmerizing to you? Why are you here watching this? And they said, their response to me was, well, it's not every day that a girl becomes a princess. And I said, false, wrong, not true. And my youngest daughter looked at me and said, what are you talking about? And I said, because every day, somewhere in the world, a woman is coming to faith in Jesus Christ, putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, they are getting married to Him. They are now the bride of Christ. They are marrying their prince, and they are now a princess because they're a child of God. Every day this has happened somewhere in the world. Every day this happens. And my question is why would you resist this renewal? Why would you resist this? And why would you want to stay faithful to God? My question is simply this. Why wouldn't you want to? My three girls were sitting there watching this wedding, and secretly I know they were thinking, oh, I would love to be her. But you think about the toxicity that we live in. Now, some of you ladies in here are saying, well, he's not that cute. I don't know if I'd really want to be. Anyway, but you think about the toxicity of our country. I was thinking about the tabloids and the toxic, trashy paparazzi, you know, TV shows and stuff. All these things that you see. And they were just, weeks leading up to this, they were just tearing this poor girl apart. that was marrying this prince. Just, I mean, there was good publicity, but there was, how many of you saw some of the bad too? How many of you know it's because we live in this toxic city? Oh, she's, for the first thing you hear is, oh, she's not British. Who does she think she is coming in our country and marrying our prince and becoming part of our royal? She's just not British enough. In fact, she's American. And she's got a messed up family. And she's biracial, as if that's a bad thing. She's a Hollywood actress. They say it almost like she's a prostitute. She's unworthy. This toxicity that's coming out against this poor girl. And you know what I'm thinking? They're right. She is unworthy. And so was I. And so are you. We're all unworthy. But sometimes that's a good word, but it doesn't matter how unworthy she was, because the prince fell in love with her and said, I don't care about all that. I want you to come be a part of my family. I want you to take my name and with it take the authority of my kingdom. I want to share my kingdom with you. Come. I don't care about all that. I love you. I want to share my life with you. I'm going to be faithful to you. Come be a part of my life. Be a part of my family. You say, why would someone want to give that up their identity? Why would someone want to be faithful? My question is why would you not want to be faithful to a God, to a king who loves you that much and says, I'm willing to pay the price for your unworthiness by giving my own life away. I'm willing to give my life so that we can come together again and be one. Why be faithful? The question isn't why. Why not? Why would you not want to be a part of his kingdom? Why would you not want to be a part of his family, the family of God? The reason people resist renewal a lot of times is because they're happy in Toxic City. They're comfortable there. It's familiar. And it has a hold, it has a bondage on their life. The Bible talks about it like this. It's like a dog returning to, this is gross, I know, but it says it's like a dog returning to his vomit. Why would you want to return to that old life when you can experience renewal, when you can have a new life in a new kingdom as part of the family of God? That's faithfulness. That's what faithfulness does. When we don't resist the renewal that God wants to do in our life, then we begin to be faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about it like this. It says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The question you need to ask yourself isn't if you are good or bad. It isn't if you're clean or dirty. The question is, are you old or new? God wants to do a renewal. He wants to do a new thing in our lives. God wants to do this. Like what I've talked about last week, He wants to transform us. The word in the Greek is metamorphosis, really, and it's the picture of a worm or a caterpillar crawling in the dirt, crawling in the mud. And then going through a metamorphosis, a transformation, a renewal, a change. And what emerges is no longer this worm crawling in the mud, but this beautiful butterfly with wings that can rise up out of that dirt and fly. Why would anyone resist this? Why would anyone want to resist that renewal in their life? Why would anyone not want to be faithful to God? It baffles me sometimes, But God really wants to do this because, listen to me today, these are God-like qualities. I've said this in all three of these messages now. God is faithful to us. Even when we have been unfaithful to Him, He still remains faithful to us. He's wanting to work within us a heart of faithfulness. Don't resist His renewal in your life. Be faithful to Him. And as that applies to other relationships in your life, let Him develop this fruit, this God-like quality being produced in your lives. He's faithful to us, and He will never leave us or forsake us. Are you glad for that today? Come on, are you glad today? So why would you want to be faithful? The question really is, why do you want to return to an old life when you can have renewal? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, and this is what God wants to work inside of us. The second one is this, it's gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. God wants to work within you faithfulness, and He wants to work within you, inside of you, gentleness. According to the Greek, gentleness means humility and meekness. Now, humility is not weakness. It's simply being good at something and not bragging about it. But meekness is also not weakness. Let me tell you the actual definition of this word gentleness, of the word meekness. It's strength under control. How many of you heard that before? That's what meekness really is. It's strength under control. I'd heard that my whole life, but I'd actually never gone and looked it up. And I went to I've been using my big old thick Strong's Concordance. I have to wear my readers because the writing's so small. But the literal definition is strength under control. That's what gentleness means, or meekness means. It's not weakness. It sounds like weakness. That's a gentle person. That's a humble person. That's a meek person. That sounds like weakness, but really it's strength under control. You don't have to brag about it. And you don't have to respond in some ungentle way. But let me tell you one other definition of this word that really stuck out to me. It's the word consideration. Everybody say consideration. Consideration. That's what that's one of the definitions of the word gentleness in the Greek. When it's talking about this inward fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives, He wants to produce within you consideration. Now, when you think of the word considerate, a person who is considerate, you think, hey, that's a nice person. They care about the feelings of others. That's true in basic terms of the word consideration. But let's break it down again to its root. The root of consideration is consider. Now consider the word consider. I've been waiting all week to say that. Consider the word consider. What does it mean? Class participation. Think about it. Exactly. Think about it. Think. Think. Point to your head and say, think. Think about it. Consideration. A considerate person is someone who stops to consider. They stop to think. In simple terms, it means think and reconsider. God wants you to develop gentleness within your life, strength under control, humility and consideration. He wants us to think about our words and actions, and if need be, then to reconsider before saying those words or taking those actions. Now, I want you to consider that in terms of our last inward fruit today. God wants to work within you faithfulness, gentleness, and all of us love this last one. This is our favorite one, right? Number three, self-control. Self-control. Now, before you put you already put the definition up. The actual meaning of the word self-control is self-control. There's not a whole lot of elaboration on this one. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Sensual appetites include, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but it's dealing with sex, but it certainly, it's not just dealing with sex, but it certainly includes our sexual appetites. So take these three today, and let me show you how these play out in our lives. So I talked to you today about my wife taking a vow to be faithful to me. I took a similar vow. I said, I'm going to be faithful to her. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be true to the covenant of marriage. I'm going to be faithful to her, and I have been, thankfully, thank God, faithful to her, and she has been faithful to me for 21 years. I'm going to be faithful to her. But let's just say this has actually never really happened, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But let's just say someone comes along and tries to seduce me. Who would want to? But someone comes along and tries to seduce me and tempt me to be unfaithful to her. Now, all the opposites of these things I've been talking about could rise up inside of me at that moment. I'm a man. Dealing with my pride. Hey, I'm a man. I could do this. Dealing with my rebellion, you know what? I might get away with it. Dealing with my flesh, there's that temptation, that draw. Dealing with all the things that I've talked about in here, all these things that could tempt me, entice me, try to convince me to do this. But this fruit of gentleness is in my life. And even though I could do this, I stop and I reconsider. I consider what this is going to do in my life. We don't do this enough. I mean, this is an extreme example, okay? And I'm doing this on purpose to shock you. But it's an extreme example. But in little areas of our life, how often do you really stop and consider? Think about what you're going to say. Think about your actions. And are they gentle? Are they humble? Are they meek? Are you exhibiting strength under control? What is this going to do if I am unfaithful to my wife? That's not gentle. That's not considerate of my wife. Is it? I got a lot of ladies in here saying, no. It's not considerate of her. Is it considerate of my children? No, it's going to devastate them. It's going to break my wife's heart. It's going to break my children's heart. It's not gentle. It's harsh. It's toxic. Let me ask you this. Is it considerate of you? You expect your pastor to live a life above reproach. Now, I'm not a perfect man, and I think y'all all know that, but you expect me to honor that. And it's going to be devastating to many people in my life who I've ministered to. It's not gentle. It's not considerate. It's not considerate to the person that I might commit this act with. Because obviously, if they're willing to do something like that, then there's some deep-seated inner wounds in their own life. And for me to take advantage of that would be inconsiderate. It would not be gentle. But it would be harsh towards me too, because the Bible says that sexual sin is sin against your own flesh. It's sin against your own body. It would be harsh and inconsiderate to myself. And ultimately, it would be inconsiderate to the one I'm really married to, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of these go back to that very first fruit, love. I mean, everything hinges on that. And I love God. And I love my wife. And I love my family. And I love you. And because of that love that has been placed in my heart, I'm going to have the fruit of faithfulness, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to reconsider my actions. And when I reconsider my actions, then I practice self-control. You see how that works? when you stop. Oh, sometimes we are drawn to it like those moths that are drawn to the bug zappers. Let me use a different illustration. And I did not want to use this illustration today because I feel like such a hypocrite. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. And God kept pestering me. He said, this is the word I've placed on your for me to say today. I really sensed in my spirit I was supposed to talk about this. I said, but God, I really would rather speak about this from a place of victory instead of from a place where I'm still working towards the victory. But I felt like God wanted me to use this illustration because I need you to hold me accountable. I need y'all to help me, okay? So let's say I've decided I'm going to be faithful to pursuing physical health. Some of you just put your head down like, oh, he's meddling with me. I'm talking about myself. Look at me. I mean, I'm a good-looking guy. I'm very confident, as a matter of fact. Some people would say overly, but especially my wife. But here's the deal. I know I'm overweight. And I know, and so I told y'all last week, I've started exercising and I have started training for a 5K. I'm going to run a 5K towards the end of the year, so I got a long way to go to just run a 5K. But it's going to take me that long. I'll be honest with you, I'm in so much pain right now. My feet hurt, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my hips hurt, my feelings hurt. But I've been training for this. But I realize it's not just the physical training that I need to do. But I've decided I want to be faithful at keeping this temple clean and healthy. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to honor the Holy Spirit by keeping my temple healthy. It's been a real conviction that's been coming. Again, there's that word that God is telling me I need to do this. And so I decide I'm going to be faithful at this. And then all of a sudden, somebody offers me a donut. And it happens every Sunday morning. Thank you, Romero. I talked about Romero last week, and I'm talking about you again this week. But somebody offers me a donut, and it's still warm. And it tastes so good in my coffee. Some of you, I'm just really speaking your language right now, right? And I start to think, it's going to taste so good. I'm going to miss out on something. My flesh wants it. Now, I mean, let me just say, is it a sin to eat the donut? Is there something? No. But for me and my desire to become healthier, to be faithful, I need to have self-control over my sensual appetites. And so I stop and I reconsider. And I say, I could eat this donut or I could have these carrots. I stop and I reconsider. I can have this donut or I can have some broccoli. I stop and I reconsider. I can have this donut and I could have a piece of fruit. That sounds better than broccoli. But then I say, give me the donut. No, I'm just kidding. When you reconsider your faithfulness, your conviction, you start to practice that self-control. What is it that we think we're missing out on anyway? Isn't it? I mean, first of all, if you think about it, the enemy loves to entice us with things by telling us we're missing out. Why be faithful to this prince? Why be faithful to this princess? Why be faithful to this king? When there may be someone else out there. There may be something else out there that you're maybe missing out on. That's the way the enemy talks to you and tries to entice you in your flesh, in your sensual desires. By trying to convince you that you're missing out on something. What are you missing out on? That donut, you're really going to be missing out. It's the best tasting donut ever. It's in the New York Times. The best donut in the world. You're going to miss out if you don't eat this donut. It's the best thing ever. But when you stop to reconsider, what if this is the one that sends me over the edge? All of a sudden I wake up tomorrow with diabetes or heart problems or blood problems or whatever, you know? You think about what are you really missing out on? I should drink some different kinds of liquor. Maybe there's a buzz I'm missing out on. No, you're missing out on a headache. You're missing out on vomit. Why do you want to return to the vomit? There's these things that I could be missing out on. I'm missing out on this. I should just try. Hey, maybe smoking weed from a bong is better than a joint. I don't know. You're missing out on it. Hey, I've never dropped acid before. I wonder what that would be like. I saw this on the internet. I wonder what that would be like. Let me tell you what it'd be like when you stop to reconsider. You realize you're missing out on more bondage and pain in life. You're missing out on heartache. You're missing out on breaking other people's heart. You're missing out on breaking God's heart. Instead, you are faithful. You are connected to Him, and you stop and you reconsider and you decide to choose gentleness, and then you practice self-control. Oh God, we need this in our life, don't we? We need to stop being like the moths that are flying towards the flame, but instead realizing that the enemy is trying to entice you to keep you in bondage, to keep you from being truly, fully united as one with your prince, with your king, with your God. Well, this is good today. I needed this. I don't know about you, but I needed this word. I need these fruits in my life. How many of you, just be honest today, I say, I need the Holy Spirit to consume me, that these fruits are manifested in my life. A lot of hands going up. Everybody stand up today. Just stand up. I'm so excited about what I believe God wants to do right now in this congregation. But how many of you, nobody looking around for just a minute, bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. There's some of you in here today, and I think that God is just tugging at your heart. You've never really sold out. Nobody's ever explained it to you like this before, where you realize that becoming a Christian is not just a prayer you pray, but it's an act, it's a vow, it's a covenant that you're coming into with God. And today you're saying, I need to really come into a faithful covenant relationship with Jesus. How many of you in here today just say, that's me. I need that. I need to make that covenant relationship with Him. Just raise your hand. Come on, raise it high. Thank you. Someone else, thank you. Anyone else in here today? So let's get real for just a minute. Let's get real with God and say, I haven't had that kind of relationship. Thank you so much. Now let me ask you this question today. Nobody, again, looking around. Just raise your hand. You say, I need this fruit in my life. I need faithfulness and true gentleness, consideration, and self-control in my life. Come on, raise it up. Raise it up high. You say any one of these three, I need it in my life. I need more of it in my life. A lot of hands going up today. If you raised your hand for either one of these this morning, can I just ask you to boldly step out? And I've done this all 3 weeks now. This is the third week in a row that I'm doing this. I just want you to come up to the front here. A lot of hands raising up. Go ahead and come on out now. Come on, step out. Nobody judging you here today. I told you I need this too. We all need this. Come on and step out today. And here's what I want to do. I just want to come by one more time. Some of you may have come down all 3 weeks in a row. That's okay. But I want to lay my hands on you, and I want to pray that the Holy Spirit fills your life. And I'm going to ask you to just be open to letting the Holy Spirit fill you, as if just as open as you would be eating that donut. Say, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to consume Him. I want Him to fill my life. Because this fruit is meant for consumption for the health benefits. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. That's why Jesus called Him the Helper. And as you consume Him, as He fills your life, these fruits begin to start being manifested. A tree is known by its fruits. You call a tree that bears apples an apple tree. You call a pear that bears apple, a tree that bears pears, you call it a pear tree. Whatever the fruit may be. Today, I am praying that you start to be known. You start to be known for the fruit that you're bearing. You start to be known for someone who is faithful, from someone who is gentle, and who practices self-control. If you're out here today and you say, hey, I need in on this, you can come on up. Otherwise, would you pray for them as well? If some of you want to come up and just stand behind them, you're welcome to do so today. But let's just stretch our hands out and pray for these here. Open your hands up like you're going to receive today. Lord, I pray for your Spirit to come and feel, consume.